So we have Mary of Bethany. Mary was an odd woman. No doubt about it. The scripture gives us three brief snapshots of her life. All of them, she's doing something inappropriate. Every single time. It's weird, or it's culturally unacceptable. The first time we see her, she ignores her proper female role as hostess, and she joins the men listening to Jesus talking theology, while her sister was busy getting things done. And getting mad at Mary, who was listening. And then we see her after her brother dies. She breaks off mourning Lazarus and she chides Jesus for not showing up. "Lord, if you'd been here," she said, "my brother would not have died." And now, in the aftermath, when Lazarus has been raised from the dead, there are powers who are plotting to kill Jesus, and Mary, true to herself, does this wild, extravagant thing by pouring out all of the perfume on Jesus' feet, and then wiping his feet with her hair. It's almost incomprehensible, really, isn't it? The scene is dinner, probably at the house of Mary and Martha and Lazarus, just a few weeks before Jesus. A few weeks after Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead, and a few weeks before Jesus is going to face his own death, Jesus is there in Bethany with them, and for them he'd always been the guest of honor because he was truly received in that place by that family. In her commentary on John's Gospel, Gail O'Day writes that John's perspective is always very personal. And the disciples, as a group of men, are virtually invisible in John. The disciples are the ones who are with Jesus, including Mary and Martha. They are people whom he loves and who love him and live out of that love. I want you to imagine the scene. It's evening. Lamplight gives the room a soft glow. The guests are reclining on elbow around a long table. And Martha, I think she's busy. What about you? She's busying herself. She's serving the guests, most likely. And the guests are talking quietly to one another. But I think in the room there's a bit of an air of tension. Everybody knows matters are coming to a head. And everybody knows the rabbi is in some real danger. Lazarus is alive and well. He's sitting at the table at Jesus' side as evidence that he's alive and well. He's also a living challenge to the high priest's power. You know, healing a leper or two, that's one thing. But raising a man from the dead, that's going to get some attention. Don't you think? Lepers sometimes would get well on their own. But nobody has ever gotten well after being 4 days in a grave. Not ever before. So raising Lazarus from the dead was throwing down a gauntlet. Jesus left town for a little while. He came back now for the Passover feast. He's in the leadership faces again, and they're going to respond this time to Jesus' presence. They're going to do something with Jesus, and everybody knows it. We've been talking about Lent as a time of fasting and feasting, a personal journey where we take on some new responsibility, and a personal journey where we give up some things that we really don't need in our life anyway. A journey that comes down in one sense to how you and I feel about Jesus. How we truly feel about Jesus will lead us to certain actions. Mary's a welter of emotions. On the one hand, there's no doubt Jesus has been her teacher, her liberator, her friend. Jesus gave her back her brother, when all logic of human experience would say that Lazarus was dead for good. Jesus taught her that as a woman, she has a right to think, long before the Christian theologians ever wrote about it. Mary knows Jesus as the Savior, her brother's Savior, her Savior, and she loves this man with a deep personal intensity that throws caution to the wind. On the other hand, of everybody else in the room that night, Mary's a realist. She knows what's coming down. She's heard people talk. She's heard Jesus talk. And didn't Jesus say to his disciples he was going to die? She listened when he talked. She's heard what he's had to say. And she realizes that the time is coming pretty soon. So she does what a woman did for a man she loved, what she and Martha had already done for Lazarus that first dark day their brother had died. Maybe the jar of nard was left over from the one that they bought for Lazarus. While he's there and she can reach him, she runs to the hiding place and she finds the jar of precious perfumed ointment worth an entire year's wages. And before thought can make her timid, before Martha can stop her, she probably would have, before common sense can count, she runs into the room, she breaks the neck of the jar, and she pours the nard all over Jesus' feet. Now think about it for a moment. Has anybody in this room spent an entire year's wages on another person? An entire year's wages. Houses don't count because, you know, you get to keep those. But just pour it out. And once the perfume fades, Mary's nard will be gone. And it isn't, if that just isn't outrage enough, in an almost sensual intimacy no respectable Jewish woman would ever imagine, except her own husband, wiping her hair on another man's feet. Wouldn't have been done. Like a towel used to wipe the perfume off Jesus' feet. And while Mary acts the dinner, well, what do you think the dinner is doing? I'd say things kind of just stopped. You had the fork and it was about to go in the mouth, and I'm saying animation. Oh my. Can you see him? Yeah. Everything came to a stop. And everybody's watching. And she doesn't care. And neither does Jesus. Everybody expects him to protest, but he doesn't. Jesus actually says nothing, not until Judas starts to talk. He starts ranting about the waste of money, and then he says two simple things. First, she's doing this for my burial, and second, that often misunderstood word about the poor. He's not saying don't give to them. He's simply saying there's a moment for everything. And this is Mary's moment for extravagant love. For her, this is the right thing, the timely thing, the only thing to do. This is her personal gesture of love. And you know what? You don't count the cost when someone you love is about to die. You do anything you can do. Tom Long, Presbyterian pastor, says Mary turns that evening meal at Bethany into a sort of early Last Supper, showing forth the Lord's death until he comes. And then he adds one of the most beautiful lines I've ever heard. He said, "The whole world is now filled with the fragrance of that perfume." Isn't that beautiful? Maybe Jesus understands. Mary's extravagant but Jesus gets it. You see, precisely because he's getting ready to be even more extravagant with his own love, he's getting ready to give himself. And maybe if you and I are ever going to understand what this personal journey of Lent really means, this fasting and feasting, maybe we're going to have to think about how we can be extravagant in our love for God and our love for others too. So she did what she did without holding back, extravagantly out of her gratitude to Jesus. And this morning, I think, I hope, in the spirit of Mary, is there some way that you can give extravagantly? Oh, will it involve sacrifice? I'm sure it will. But why would you do it? Because you love him. And you've recognized and realized how much he loves you. And so you just give. I hope today, and I hope during this season of Lent, that you'll take time to remember why you love him. That you'll take time to reflect on how much he has loved you. And that you'll consider that because of that, you ought to and should and must just give. Just give it. Do it. I know it goes beyond logic and prudence and all those other reasons that we can think of about why we shouldn't. What can I do to show him how much I love him? What can I do? What can I do? And you might just discover that in your gift, that the whole world is now filled with the fragrance of that beautiful perfume. Let us pray. Oh God, use us, take us. Help us to not hold back. Where we see the opportunity, God, to give your love, let us give openly, freely, in ways the world may not understand, but you do. Because you know that we give from the heart out of our love for you. Just as Mary gave. And may the world be filled with that sweet perfume, the gift of our love and your love intertwined. Through Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen.